Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to this edition of the Strang Report. Today, we have a special treat for you. We're going to talk about the Alpha Program, which comes out of London, England, and is all around the world. And I have two special guests who I'll introduce. The first is Tricia Neal, who has been the CEO of Alpha for 25 years. And we want to find out about the history and the new CEO, who is Matthew Neville. And so thank you both for visiting in our studio here. I happen to know about your church, Holy Trinity Brompton. I've had the privilege of being there many times. It is not your typical Anglican church. So what happened that an Anglican church in London would start a program that has gone around the world?
Well, the program started probably about 40 years ago. It started as a small course called Alpha. It had the first time it was just 6 weeks running. And every time a new, we call them curates, they are assistant pastors in the church, took on Alpha, they would just change it a little bit and add something to it. And eventually, Nikki Gumbel, who was the senior curate at HTB, took it on in 1990. And at that time, it had grown to be a 10-week course. We'd had a lot of influence from John Wimber at that time, who had spoken to us about the Holy Spirit, and we had introduced the Weekend Way on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. So Nikki took that on in 1990, and when he first took it on, the first Alpha group that he hosted at HTB, there were a number of people in his small group on Alpha that were from completely outside the church. And he suddenly realized that if he looked at Alpha, we had been doing it for people who had become Christians in those early days, but he realized that this was going to be a tool that he could use to reach people who were outside the church. And so he took it on in 1990 and grew it really to the course that it is today.
Well, let's start at the beginning for my American listeners who may not be familiar. First of all, the official church in England is called the Anglican Church. We call it the Episcopal Church over here because there was a little thing called the Revolutionary War, and it wasn't too good to be called Anglican at the time. But something very special happened at Holy Trinity Brompton. This is a church called Holy Trinity in a part of London called Brompton. I've been there. It's very, very old. I don't know how old your church is, maybe 150 years old.
Yeah, I think it is.
And surrounded by a graveyard.
Yes.
And surrounded by Metro London. It's a very interesting to visit it.
Just along the road from Harrods. A lot of people will know that shop, Harrods. So it's just close to Harrods.
You know, so here it is. It's built kind of like a Gothic cathedral. I don't think you would call it a cathedral. It's probably too small, right? And the last time I went, it was interesting. You'd taken out all the pews, and it looked quite contemporary with praise and worship. And something happened at Holy Trinity Brompton where it was really touched by the Holy Spirit. And that was really what gave birth to Alpha, was it not?
Well, I think when the Spirit fell, obviously it didn't just fall at HTB, all around the world. The Spirit fell especially in, it was around May 1994. And I think what happened as a result of that was Alpha began to explode. Of course, it had been running at HTB all those years, but it just began to explode all around the world after that. And also, we saw our prison ministry that Alpha was very involved in running in the prisons in the UK. That again exploded as a result of this extraordinary outpouring of the Spirit. And I always remember Sandy Miller, who was the vicar at that time. We used to say, what is this outpouring of the Spirit? It was quite unusual for us at that time. And he used to say, we'll know that it's of God when we see the fruit. And of course, what we have seen is this extraordinary explosion of Alpha all around the world since then.
And it's a way to introduce non-believers or maybe new Christians to the basics of the faith in sort of a, I'm going to use the word non-threatening. Is that accurate?
Matthew's just been on the Weekend Away Alpha at our own church, haven't you?
Yeah, we run at the church. We continue to run Alpha three times a year. This last Alpha, we had about 700 people on the course, which is just incredible. Average age is somewhere between 25 and 27 years old. On a cold, kind of rainy night in England, it's incredible to see these young people queuing down the driveway to the church to come and explore, as we put it, life, faith, and meaning. I think a great way of understanding what Alpha is a process of listening people into the kingdom rather than arguing people into the kingdom. Alpha emphasizes hospitality, it emphasizes the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so we encourage our leaders, rather than answering people's questions or attempting to kind of argue things through, just really to listen to people as they discuss life, faith, meaning. And we find consistently through the process of the 10, sometimes 11 weeks of the course, that people very often work out the questions for themselves, very often work through some of the difficult issues, and really arrive at a place where they're ready to put there.
Well, I realize that the program has evolved, or maybe another way to put it is morphed over the years. But just so the listeners can understand, and I can understand, do these 700 people all meet in the church? Do you meet at homes? Is it like on a Tuesday night? How long do the meetings last? Mm. And then what are some of the topics that you cover?
So I think one of the incredible things about Alpha is that there's no typical Alpha environment, although there is a typical Alpha program. So let me explain what that means. Alpha last year, for example, ran in about 110 countries globally, and it ran everywhere from village parish churches in England to prisons in Colombia to palaces in different parts of Asia. And it's able to transcend cultures in so many different ways. A typical evening, wherever you are in the world, looks similar, no matter whether you're meeting in a church or a home or a prison. First off, you have a meal. That emphasis on hospitality is so important. We find that once people have eaten together, there is a connection that really kind of shifts something in the atmosphere. Then what we'll do is we'll present, as we put it, what we believe. So the typical talks would be, why did Jesus die? How and why do I pray? Why should I read the Bible? Talks like that. And the typical talk will last between 30 minutes. Many churches give the talks themselves, although we have a video series that we recorded back in 2016 that if you're unable to give the talks, you can play that. And then we say we'll break into small groups. And you break into small group, typically somewhere between 8 and 12 people. And the leader will start that group off, and we say to people, now we've told you what we believe, this is your opportunity to tell us what you believe. And so during that discussion, people will raise the typical issues they have around faith. And we always encourage the leaders, you know, whatever you do, resist the temptation to get into answering people's questions or get drawn into arguments. You know, typically we say to people, well, no matter what someone says, say, that's a really good question. What does everyone else think? And we just then rely on the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that brings people to faith. And that process of the small group discussing and exploring, what we get in feedback is that that is not what they expected to get from church. They expected to get a lecture, or they expected to be told that they were right or wrong. And so people who very often come with a very kind of closed body language expecting an argument or a fight or to be told that they're wrong or right find that that process of being listened to and honored and loved and respected.
Well, why do people come in the first place? Because often people that feel ill at ease around church people or the church will just stay away entirely. So how do you get those 700 people to queue up at Holy Trinity Brompton?
Well, I think we run it three times a year consistently. And what we find is that most of the people that come were invited by their friends who did the previous course. So we, on a Sunday, we will put up people who say, I was on Alpha, and the question that Nikki will always ask them is, what difference did Jesus make in your life? And they'll talk they didn't know Jesus, and then they did. But we also put up people that say, I went to Alpha, I had a great time. I didn't become a Christian, but I recommended my friends to become a Christian. Those people who are still on that journey. And then that kind of authenticity, I think, of it, it puts people's guards down. Okay, that sounds safe. That sounds an environment where I can properly explore. And I think one of the things that we find is that young people in particular are yearning for environments within which they can safely explore the big questions in life without being fearful of being judged or being told. And so we find that consistently we're getting that people are inviting their friends, you know, even if they didn't come to faith, they're saying, this is something that I think you'd really enjoy. And
I mean, I know that myself, Stephen, that, you know, I came because I played tennis with somebody. I never went to church. You know, I hadn't been in a church for 20 years. And I played tennis with somebody and we started chatting one day. And she just said, you know, why don't you come? And she told me I'd get a nice meal and I enjoy eating. She said I'd meet some nice people. And I was desperate trying to find a community in London. I had moved there from living abroad. And then she said, if you don't like it, just come once and nobody's going to chase you up. So she made it really easy for me to come. So I went, and of course my life was completely changed on Alpha. Then I was working at the time for News International, for Rupert Murdoch's organization. And everybody who I worked with kept saying to me, where are you going on a Wednesday night? And I didn't want to say, because, you know, in the UK, we're quite reticent about church and religion and Christianity. And also, I didn't know what I was believing or not believing it by that point. But by the end of the course, I had had such an amazing experience. It was like, if I'd been to a good restaurant, I would tell people, have you eaten at this great restaurant? If I'd seen a good film, I'd say, oh, have you seen this film or this play? So why wouldn't I tell them about the thing that had been, in a sense, the most transforming thing in my life? So I told all my colleagues at work, why don't you come and see? Come to a Wednesday night, you'll get a good meal, you'll meet some nice people, and if you don't like it, you never have to come back. And out of 26 people who worked with me, 13 of them came along to the first night. Mm. Four of them stayed on and did the whole course. All four of them became Christians, and one of them now is an Anglican minister in the UK as a result of that. Now, that's just one person's life. And you imagine, you know, with 25 million people now having gone through the Alpha course all around the world. And if each one of them invites their friends, that's the people who are coming on Alpha.
We find consistently, actually, that the most effective way that anybody comes on Alpha is if a friend invites them. One thing that's been interesting, we've been looking at some research recently globally that looks at why Christians generally aren't inviting their friends to church or exploring faith, and just seeing some really changing attitudes towards evangelism within the church. If you go back 25 years to when Alpha started, generally a pastor would give you 15 tracts, Christian tracts, and say, I want you to hand these out over the next week to your neighbours. And once you've handed them out, then you get another, you know, you might get 20 the time after, and you do that. And Christian said, look, this is a bit formulaic. It's a bit like selling. It's not really working. Do you mind if we try something else? So other things we'll try. Fast forward 25 years, I think today Christians generally say, why don't we just live our life in an authentic Christian way and people will notice? The problem is, though, as a church community, as Christians, we're now not confident and not even perhaps able to share the gospel confidently. And so that's not really working either. And so the other side of the research that we did was look at non-Christians, who most of whom are saying, I would really welcome a conversation about Jesus. You know, I'm not afraid of that. I would be interested in exploring that. But we as Christians have really lost the ability to do that well and authentically. And so we hope that through Alpha, you can at least invite a friend to try a meal, and you can invite a friend to explore the questions. And that's perhaps an easier step than inviting them to come along to church on a Sunday morning.
What is your own story about getting involved with Alpha?
So I was working for World Vision. I was at World Vision, the Christian humanitarian organization, for 10 years. My wife and I had done Alpha in our early 20s. We were living in London. We wanted to get our son baptized. And the vicar said to us, well, look, if you're going to do this, why don't you understand what it is that you're doing? And why don't you try Alpha? So we did Alpha. And unfortunately, our son was then not well. He'd spent a long period of time in hospital. We went through a difficult time where he was in and out of hospital, and sadly he passed away when he died when he was 18 months old. And that then was a quite difficult time for my wife and I in our marriage. And a few years later, a friend suggested that we did the marriage course, which is another ministry that, Alpha runs. We did the marriage course, and it was the marriage course that then connected us to our local church and led to us coming to faith. And so I was approached by one of the board members of Alpha just over 2 years ago, and was Alpha something I'd heard of? Yeah, of course. It played such an important part in my life and the life of my family and my wife and I coming to faith. And so when I was asked would I be interested in exploring leading the organization globally, it something we prayed about, but it was just such a huge privilege to be involved in this, to have this, as I describe it, a kind of front row seat to see what God is doing in the world globally. And it really is a huge privilege.
And this is so interesting to hear your stories. But I have several questions. First of all, why is it called Alpha? Is there also a Beta? Or is there an Omega?
I think it was one of the curates who was running it before Nikki took it on was trying to think of a name, because I think it was, to begin with, it was something like, New Christians Course or something at HTB. And I don't know, she was in the bath one night and she said, I know what we should be calling it. It's Alpha. And I think it was called Alpha because it's just the beginning. You know, this is your first step. And I think it's been a brilliant, non-threatening name.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's
easy
it's,
to remember.
Yes.
And you ask an interesting question, is there a Beta? And a lot of people ask us that question. And it's really important to be able to answer that because there isn't. And it's important to us that there isn't. Our mission at Alpha is to equip and serve the church in its mission to help people discover and develop a relationship with Jesus. And our mission isn't actually anything to do with Alpha, and neither is our mission anything to do with us. We are not the delivery mechanism. It's really important to us that we are focused on serving and equipping the church. We are a ministry of one local church in London. You know, by American standards, quite a small parish church in London. And
enormously influential, though.
God has somehow used what has happened in our church and continues to happen in our church to bless other churches. But it's really important to us that we are a ministry of that church. And, you know, God has blessed it that we now have this flourishing ministry here in the U.S. Craig Springer, who runs that ministry, and his team are doing an incredible job here. But for us, Beta is whatever the local church decides Beta to be. And that can be very different in the Catholic Church as to what it is within a Orthodox church within Syria to what it might be within a mega church here in the US. And so it's really important to us that it's the church that then takes that on. And
of the 25 million who've been through the course, what percentage of those people would be exploring Christianity as opposed to maybe someone who is in the church and just wanted that sense of community or perhaps wanted to learn more about the Bible?
Because of our mission and the fact that we equip and serve the church, we don't keep a record of anyone that does Alpha. That's really important. We don't want a relationship with those people. We want them to have a relationship with their church. And so we're reliant on churches to give us that data and that information. But roughly in terms of the people that do Alpha, it breaks down into people that are perhaps had a faith when they were younger and want to come back to it. So there's some sort of discipling element to it or reconnection. And then there's people that had no connection with the church whatsoever, completely atheist. And that really varies by country. So in the UK, I think we would see the bulk of people coming through Alpha as those who are completely disconnected from the church. If you take, for example, what's happening through the Catholic Church globally, one of the areas where we're seeing the largest growth in Alpha right now within the Catholic Church, a lot of that is coming through people who had some connection with church in the past and are looking to come back and are seeing the Alpha course as a way as kind of re-exploring whether this is something, a faith that they may have had as a child, for example, whether that's still relevant to them as an adult. And so that question of kind of exploring something that they had when they were younger. We did a global survey with the research company Barna last year, and we looked across about 12 different countries. We're asking the question, is Alpha effective? Does it work? And we left Barna to define that in terms of what does effective mean. And they looked at that in different contexts. So they looked at it amongst church leaders And about 94% of church leaders said that they would recommend other churches to do Alpha. And I think there's an interesting story there about the way that you can use Alpha in your church to identify and raise up leaders and to create a culture of hospitality and a culture that is outward looking and a culture that is reliant on the Holy Spirit. We then said to people, would you recommend Alpha to your friends? And forget the figures exactly, but about 90% of people said that they would recommend their friends to Alpha. That's good. And then we looked at the people who described at the beginning of the course said that they weren't a follower of Jesus and that had done the whole course. And 86% of those people said that at the beginning of the course, they wouldn't have described themselves as a follower of Jesus, that by the end of the course, 86% of those people described themselves as followers of Jesus. And
so that's nearly everyone, as opposed to you earlier, you had described that some people went through the course and said, well, it's not for me, but it's for my friend. But really, 86% is nearly everyone.
It's incredible. It's amazing. And again, I think that varies by context, and varies, but that was the finding of the research. So
well, let's talk about that a minute, because I'm fascinated with numbers and what they mean. So 25 million people. Most of the denominations in the world don't have 25 million members. Our biggest denomination in this country is Southern Baptist, and if I remember correctly, it's 16 million. Which is the largest Protestant denomination. And the Episcopal Church, if it's 3 million, I'd be surprised. So does that mean the church has really grown that much in 25 years?
So last year, about 34,000 churches ran Alpha globally, which is a really wonderful number. But putting it within the global context, that's about 1% of the world's churches. Counting churches is actually quite a difficult exercise. If you want to count kind of house churches in China, it's actually very difficult. And by the way, we don't count. There are some countries where we don't actually count the numbers within, because to do so would be detrimental to the ministry. But yeah, so you have to put these numbers within a global context. So 34,000 churches, for example, sounds absolutely wonderful, but that's 1% of the world's churches. Yes, 25 million people having done Alpha sounds incredible, but again, put that within the context of the number of Christians, there's somewhere around 2 billion people who would call themselves Christian globally. And so, you know, I think it's probably fair to say that we feel in Alpha that we're just scratching the surface.
But when you use that huge statistic, most of those people are just cultural Christians. They were born into a home that where they call themselves Christian. But in terms of a live faith, you know, it'd be a much smaller number. And a lot of churches are actually declining. In fact, I think probably most denominations are declining.
Well, I think there are areas where the church is really growing. Africa, you know, the church is really growing strongly right across Africa. If you look at the global statistics, you know, most of that is pointing to Africa being the region where that will be the kind of place of strength within Christendom by 2050, seeing really strong growth within the church in certain parts of Asia. So whilst we in the West look at a picture and, you know, it can be a bit doom and gloom at times, and at a macro level you can see some of these things that are going down, certainly within the Southern Church, that's not the case. And even when you then look below the numbers, I think, within the church in the West, you can see really strong areas of vibrant growth. You know, our church, for example, within 21st century London, you know, we've seen growth in our church over the last year. And so I think the media wants to portray, and sometimes we as Christians can get caught up in a doom and gloom picture of what's happening to faith. I think we need to be clear-sighted. We need to be clear-headed. There is that at the macro level. But look below that, and I think you can still continue to find some really encouraging signs of what God is doing.
And that's very encouraging, because regardless of what the culture is saying, regardless of what the media is saying, the Holy Spirit is at work, and lives are being changed.
Yeah, I just came. So one of the aspects of Alpha is you have a Holy Spirit weekend. We just had our Holy Spirit weekend at our church. We have to have two because we can't fit everyone in. So we had 300 on this weekend. And there's a point at the weekend where the person leading the weekend prays a simple prayer, which is, "Come, Holy Spirit," one of the oldest prayers that the church has. And we just wait. We just wait. We don't force that moment. We just pray, come Holy Spirit, and then just wait. We encourage people to open their hands. Everybody, you know, some people are kind of opening one eye, looking around, seeing what's going to happen. But I had the privilege of praying and leading one of my members of my group to faith over the weekend. I've just literally just come from that. And the Holy Spirit is absolutely moving. I could tell you many stories of, we're seeing, I was just talking to one of my colleagues who's running a church in Malaysia. They're seeing amazing growth there. And there is so much that's exciting. I think it can be a danger to get caught up in the doom and gloom. As I said, I think we need to be clear-sighted about that. I think in terms of what we're seeing in the church here in the US, I think you're starting to see some of the challenges that we've seen in Europe over the last 30 years. But I think the other part of that is that that represents real opportunity as well for Christians to stand up and to share faith. And, you know, great missionary opportunities just here in America. We have a huge heart for the church here in America. And, you know, whatever we can do to serve and share the lessons that we have learned in the UK over the last 30 years with the church here, we would love to. And, you know, how does the church position itself for a cynical post-Christian society?
Well, that's a wonderful segue for me to ask the question, how can people get involved? You need to give us a website or something where people could get more information about Alpha and also maybe find out how they could be involved or their church could be involved.
So the best place to start is to go to alphausa.org, and we have all of the resources there. You're able to then go onto that. You can go to what we call our Alpha Builder, which then allows you to start putting together a course. You can contact the team who will then respond to you and get you involved and tell you everything that you need to know. We actually also have a conference down in Phoenix at the end of January. So if you really want to come and learn more about Alpha, that would be a really great place to come to and to get involved. And that would be a wonderful time of ministry and prayer and spending time in the company of the Holy Spirit.
And is it going to be at a church? And do you remember the dates?
It is the 30th. And the 31st of January, and it's at the Hillsong Church down in Phoenix. So as many people that could come along to that, that would be absolutely wonderful. And that would be a great place to come and really just understand what Alpha's all about and what's going on.
Well, that's exciting. So thank you both so much for taking time to come and talk to us and to share your experiences about Alpha. Boy, 25 years. That's a long time. There are a lot of stories.
Yes.
We could talk for a long time, but I think that this has whetted our appetites to find out more, and hopefully you'll respond to the website, and hopefully many of you can go to the conference in January. So with that, we'll wrap up this edition of the Strang Report. Thank you for listening on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
If the election of Donald Trump was an earthquake, his accomplishments since are the aftershocks no one saw coming. From best-selling author Stephen E. Strang comes Trump Aftershock, the seismic impact on culture and faith in America. Trump Aftershock offers unique insights that will cut through the media noise and reveal what they won't tell you. Gain a better understanding of the political, emotional, and spiritual dimensions at work in Trump Aftershock. Available where fine books are sold.